Shavua Tov. Omar of Misharshia, we're on Daf Chesamid Aleph. I would say, let's see how many, maybe about 10 lines down from the top, the first word in the line is Zeh. Omar of Misharshia, Hadi Amrit, that which Rabbi Yehuda said, and we're going according to the last explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, that of Rabbah, that you have a mavui that spills into the middle, straight down to the middle of a rechava, and there was a piritza in the wall of the mavui that separated the mavui from the rechava, and not only that, if you go straight down to the end, you'll see a piritza in the wall of the chatzer, and that leads you into Shesarabim. So Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh Mutter, Rabbi had already explained that if you see straight away from the Mavui into the Rishus HaRab on the other side, so you have the Rishus HaRab at the beginning of the Mavui, and the Mavui ultimately ends up in Rishus HaRabim. So that's Asur, that requires a Tzuras HaPesach, that's already called a Mavui Mefulash. But if the Mavui spills into the side of the Rechava, and not Keneged the Pesach HaChatzer, then it's Mutter. Is lo amarin ela rechava de rabbin, aval rechava de yachid is not, as we'll soon see the explanation. So there are two types of rechava. There's a rechava that's privately owned, which means that whoever owns that area, you know, in the municipality, has legal ownership. He can decide how many houses and where to put the houses. And then there's something called rechava de rabbin, which that's the way it is. It's going to stay that way. Nobody's going to change it. I mean, maybe theoretically it could be changed, but we don't anticipate anything changing. So this whole heter of Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rabbi interpreted it, it only applies to a rechava de rabbin. Aval rechava de yachid, if this rechava is owned by one individual, zimnin, it's quite possible de mimlech Allah. He may change his mind, and he wants to restructure it in such a way that it'll add batim. Ubani le batim, he'll build batim. Havi le kemavi shekol letzidei rechava is asur. In other words, what we're going to, if we're going to differentiate here between, you know, whether it's Zeh Keneged Zeh, or it's not Zeh Keneged Zeh, I'm going to say it's not Zeh Keneged Zeh, it's going to be Mutter. That's based on the situation as we see it in front of our eyes today. And that would be appropriate in the case of a Rechava de Rab. But if we have to anticipate things are going to be moving around, and it may end up that we'll have a Movi that's called Litzide Rechava, which was the Gemara that we covered in the last year on the top of Daf Chesam and Aleph. And if you recall, let's see what line it was. Aval, just one second. Aval, that's 6 lines down from the top. It says, Aval kola letzide rechava asur. In other words, if the pirtza, the opening between the mavi and the rechava, is on the side, not down the middle of the rechava, but on the side of the rechava, then we said it's asur. Then it becomes a mavui mefulash. We tried to work very hard on the logic behind that. We tried to suggest that then what happens is the rechava becomes like a separate entity. It's not that the rechava is a continuation of the mavui. That's only if kol b'emtza rechava. And if the mavui spills into the rechava, then we said it's mutter, because the rechava is rishus hayachid. But in the case where the rechava ends up in the tzidei harechava, if the mavui, ends up in the tzidei rechava, that's That's not a there's no real connection between the Mavui and the Rechava. The Mavui stands on its own, and it's not a Mavui that's that's ending up as a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore you consider the Mavui Mefulash and it needs a Tzuras HaPesach. So the Gemara is now qualifying that even in the case of Emtza Rechava, which we said according to Rabbi's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda was Mutter, and you would not consider it a Mavui Mefulash, that's only if there's a permanence to the present situation, and that applies only to a Rechava de Rab. The Gemara now is going to spend a lot of time to try to figure out how Rav Misharshia knew, based on the halachic principles that govern Erevin, that there is a distinction between the Rabim and the Yochid. That's the next line in the Gemara. Umina Temra, how does he know the Shanile? Shanile means there's a difference between Rechava the Rabim and Rechava the Yochid. How do we know that these two concepts are fundamentally different one from the other? So if we want to begin the Shia now, the title of the Shia is there a difference between a Rechava de Rabim and a Rechava de Yachid? And we're going to establish that based on a story. The Omer Avin Bar Rav Ada, Omer Rav Yitzchak, Maisa, there was a case, B'Mavui Echad. Now, I have a little diagram of this Mavui. It's very nice in color. And what happens is that you have a bunch of houses that pour into a Mavui that ends up at the other end in Rishus HaRabim. And as we've discussed many, many times, a Mavui needs to have three Mechitzos. So let's say the fronts of the houses are aligned in such a way that that forms one Mechitza, and that spills into the Mavui. What's on the right and what's on the left? So on the right, we have something that's called an ashpa, Aleph Shin Pei He, which is a dumping ground. Now, this dumping ground is 10 tfachim high. Once it's 10 tfachim high, it has the status of a mechitza. On the left side of this mavui is a sea, or a body of water, let's say. I mean, there may be various differences, nuances between a sea and a river, so we'll call it just for the sake of a body of water. Now, the mavui itself is lifted above the water. Like if you've ever gone out to like a dock, right? The dock is lifted above the water. So here you have a mavui, and on the right side is ashpa. On the left side, if you look down, 10 tfachim, right? So there's like a wall that goes this way, below the mavui. And at the bottom of that wall, 10 tfachim deep, there's water. So the halacha is that at this, it's called in Hebrew a sfas hayom, there is a mechitza over here. Why? Because from the water up to the level of the mavui, where your feet, are standing, there's 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim forms a mechitza. So this is called Goed Asik Mechitzos, you visualize imaginary mechitzos that are going up. Once you have 10 tefachim, the mechitza goes up. So the lip of the mavui near the water is 10 tefachim high, and that continues up as an imaginary mechitza. So now we have a mavui that has three mechitzos. And it ends up in Rishus HaRabim. So you have the houses, right? The line of houses, that's one mechitza. You've got the ashpa on your right. And you've got the yam, this water on your left. Ba Maisel Lifnei Rebbe, and the case came in front of Rebbe, and Velo Omar Ba Lo Heter Velo Isur. I'm going to rewrite the Gemara's language here in my own way. It means Rebbe was very hesitant to allow this to come under the law of Mavui, which we said is either a Lechi or a Korah. So actually, if you look here in the picture, the diagram, they have a Lechi on the right side, right near the edge that goes down to the water, coming from Rishus HaRabim. Well, I told you that the water is on the left side, but that's because we're coming out of the houses. But if we're coming in from Rishus HaRabim, then the body of water is on your right side. So that's where they put up a lechi. It's interesting because, you know, usually you see a lechi like it's attached to a kosel. Here there is no kosel. The whole kosel is imaginary. So you see this lechi like kind of coming out of nowhere, so to speak. In any event, I guess the scholars asked Rebbe, what do you think about this lechi? Is that enough to be matir tiltul the mavui? So Rebbe didn't want to say anything. Obviously, Rebbe was very hesitant. So Gemara explains, Isur lo amar bo, he wasn't going to object and say that it's asur da'kaimi mechitzos. There are three mechitzos. Heta lo amar bohu, why was he inhibited? Why did he not want to be matir? And the answer is the chayshinon shemati notel ashpa. So, point number one, we're going to get to point number two in just a second, is that maybe they'll take away the garbage, right? The rubbish collectors will come and clear off the garbage. Or maybe at some point the owners of these houses will say, genug, enough with this rubbish, let's get rid of it. There's another chashash also, v'yale hayam sirton. Now, we have to translate the word sirton, and he says in Hebrew, chol avonim refesh v'tit. He's got a whole long list of all sorts of substances that are washed ashore, right, ashore by the river or by the sea. And some of the sand and the rocks and the stones and maybe there's cement that fell into the river. All this, when there's a strong wave, will be pushed towards that lip that we spoke about, you know, that ledge of the mavui that bounds on the water. And when this stuff starts accumulating, you no longer have 10 tefachim down. Do you follow that gap between the edge of the mavui, like the mavui is like a platform in this case. If you go to the edge of the platform, all of a sudden, you know, there's solid material that's coming up, stones and sand that's filling it up. So it's no longer has that 10 tefachim minimum that we need for a mechitza. So memela, we have to be choshesh. Rebbe was very inhibited here by two possibilities, either of which would completely nullify this mavui. Either the ashpa would be taken away and that mechitz is gone, or we have to be worried that maybe the mechitza the boundary between the water and the mavui is going to vanish. So the Gemara asks the following, and this back and forth on trying to understand Rebbe and why Rebbe was so inhibited about being matir is going to shed a light on Rav Mesharshia. Umichai shinon shemeti notel ashpa. Is there really a halachic consideration that ashpa will be taken away? We're going to quote a Mishnah later on in Erevin that relies totally on an ashpa. Vatnan, ashpa birshus harabim. So what happened is that you have houses, and they border on Rishus HaRabim, so there are windows from the house over to Rishus HaRabim, and in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, there's an ashpa, we would call today a tzfardeh, if you know what I mean, you know, it's one of these green things. Now they have a more sophisticated method, but in any event, so Michai Shin and Shebeti Notel Ashba Vatnan Ashba Rishus HaRabim Gavasar Tvachit. If you have a pile of rubbish, it's a dumping ground that has the following two dimensions. Number one, it is 10 Tvachim up from the ground. And number two, it is 4 Tvachim square in terms of its width. So it's got all the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. Is then chalon shalgaba, if you have a window that opens up into this ashpa, zarkin lo b'shabbos, he can take garbage out of his house and throw it through the window, and it'll land on this heap of garbage. Now, what's happening here is that we have a hotzai here from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. And the law is that according to the Torah, you're allowed to take something and carry it from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid. Now we have to add another footnote here. There's no Rishus HaRabim in between. Now how's that possible? He's throwing something out of his window into the Pach Ashpa, which is located in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. So how could it be that he's not taking it into Rishus HaRabim? We have halacha. This is derived from the Mishkan, called Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus HaRabim. You pick up something in Rishus HaYochid, and you carry it through Rishus HaRabim, and put it down in another Rishus HaYochid. Is Yechaya for that? That's a malacha doraisa. You have to bring a chatos for that. So the answer to this is that Rishus HaYochid, I'm sorry, scratch that, Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tvachim. Above 10 Tvachim, the Rishus HaRabim is called a Makom Ptur. So let's assume his window is at least 10 Tvachim high, and the garbage we said was 10 Tvachim high, so when he chucks something out of the window, or maybe you could imagine he throws it in an arch, right? He goes up and down out of his window, ends up in this rubbish pile, and it's above 10 Tvachim, so it never entered into Rishus HaRabim. It basically went from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. So what do we do with this Mishnah? L'chora, this Mishnah is against Revi. Revi said we always have to worry that maybe the Pach Ashba will be taken away. You know, people are getting used to throwing their garbage out. Yeah, maybe they won't clear away the rubbish pile completely and obliterate it, but what they'll do is, from time to time, they, you know, the garbage collectors come and they take out a certain amount of garbage. And if they take out a certain amount of garbage, then it will no longer be Rishus HaYochid. So he writes here, Ein choshesh, and it seems from that Mishnah that we're not worried. Shemat tismayid ha'ashba me'asor tvachim. Now, what happens if the ashba is reduced in size to 9 tvachim? Then it's part of Rishus HaRabim. Very interesting. This rubbish, like any tail is a pile or a pillar, any of those sorts in Rishus HaRabim, if they're wide enough, they're either Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. It depends. If it's 10 Tvachim high, 4x4, right, then it's a Rishus HaYochid. If it goes below 10 Tvachim, it becomes part of the Rishus HaRabim. So why aren't we choshesh that maybe they're going to clear off part of the Ashba? Now the Ashba's height has been diminished to below 10 Tvachim, and now he's throwing garbage from his house, which is a Rishus HaYochid, landing on a Rishus HaRabim. Alma, we see that we're not choshesh. So let's go back to the mavui of Rebbe. Rebbe, in that case of a mavui, he was afraid that they would take away the ashpa. Alma says the Gemara, the only way of reconciling this is the shani bein ashpa de rabim la ashpa de yachid. When we're talking about a privately owned and privately controlled rubbish bin or whatever you want to call it, then he may move it around. So you're relying on this mavui that on the right side it has a mechitza, which is called a ashpa. Well, maybe he's going to decide to clear out the ashpa. And therefore, if he changes his mind and he finally gets sick of the ashpa, you know, in a flicker, you know, he'll get rid of the ashpa. And he's been used to carrying in this mavui, based on the fact that that ashpa is a mechitza, but it's no longer a mechitza. So Rebbe didn't want to be matir then. But in the case of ashpa de rabim, that's pretty set. And we don't have to be choshesh that it's going to change. I guess, I'm just thinking out loud, I don't know the mitzias, but maybe if the municipality decided to make some sort of a radical cleanup job, it would notify the people, and then the local rabbis would say, hey, you know, let's stop throwing out our garbage here, because it's now Rosh Hashanah.
Rabbi?
Yes?
I'm a little confused here. Is it that the garbage heap, if it's over 10 tefachim, it becomes a Rosh Hashanah, but what's the importance of Rosh Hashanah? I thought the importance is the mechitza, not the Rosh Hashanah. Because otherwise, I'm trying to picture what it might look like, an alleyway, but on one side of it is a private Rishus Yachid that's given to a mechitza, even if it's less than 10 tefachim?
No. There's no such thing as a mechitza less than 10 tefachim. It just doesn't exist.
So the importance should be on the mechitza, not on Rishus Yachid. That's what's confusing me, is the concept that it has to be considered a Rishus Yachid.
Again, Rishus Yachid means that it's got three mechitzos. So if you have 10 tefachim high, then it is a mechitza, and if you have two other mechitzos, now it becomes a Rishus HaYachid. If on the other hand it dips below 10 tefachim, it loses its status as a mechitza, you no longer have a Rishus HaYachid. Now you're in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, right? That's where this garbage dump is. If that garbage dump is below 10 tefachim, then it's not a mechitza, and it's part of the Rishus HaRabim itself. How could you allow him to throw his rubbish out of his house, which is clearly a Rishus HaYachid, into this rubbish bin? The answer is because the rubbish bin is 10 tefachim high. And if it's 10 tefachim high, it's got mechitzas all around it. Right? This is what's called in halacha, if you learn Masechta Shabbos, this is called a tel, tuf lamet. A tel is a mound, a little hill. I mean, a minor hill. It's very small, but it's in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. There's a mound of dirt. Now, if this mound of dirt rises above 10 tefachim, and it has the dimensions of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, it's a serious mound, so to speak. Again, it's not very serious. If I actually saw it, you would be shocked to know that that's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid in the middle of a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's called a tail. And this ashpa is a tail. It's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Why? Because it has the width of 4 tefachim and it has the height of 10 tefachim. That makes it Rosh Hashanah Yochid. But that's all conditional on the fact that it rises above 10 tefachim. If it goes down to below 10 tefachim, then it's part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And then heaven forbid if he throws his rubbish out of the window and it lands in this rubbish pile, he's violating a Melechah D'oraisa of Melechas Otzah. But the answer is, it's an Ashpa de Rabim. An Ashpa de Rabim, we don't have to be so pious that we have to afraid that maybe they're going to clear out the garbage. If it's a private dumping yard, then we have to be, it's up to his whimsical mood that day. He may wake up in the morning one day and say, you know what, you know, my wife is on my back, this is not aesthetically pleasing, let's get rid of the garbage. So we're not going to allow people to get used to carrying in a mavui based on the fact that there are three mechitzas, one of which is this ashpa, because if we let him get used to that, says Rebbe, that was Rebbe's hesitation, then tomorrow when he or any other member of the household decide to get rid of the ashpa, he's going to continue to carry in the mavui, not realizing that now it's a, it's not a mavui anymore because it doesn't have that mechitza. So that's this distinction. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we covered this previously. So is a mavui a reshus hayachid?
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, Don, if I tell you you're allowed to carry there on Shabbos, you have to assume it's a Rishus HaYochid. I'll tell you why. Because if it's a Rishus HaRabim, you chay for four Amos if you carry it. And if it's a So as soon as you hear about a Mavui, and the whole chapter that we're learning here is about how to allow carrying it a Mavui, you have to assume it's a Rishus HaYochid. It's got to have three Mechitzos. Now, you could ask me the kasha, well, what about a Mavui Mefulash? It only has two Mechitzos. So then we're going to have to assume that a Tzuris HaPesach is a third Mechitza. And then we have Rabbi Yehuda's Shita back on Daf, whatever it was, Daf Gimel or Dalit, I don't remember, who holds that if you have an area which has two Mechitzos, that area is a Rishus HaYochid. Now, we don't accept Rabbi Yehuda, we assume a Rishus HaYochid has to have three Mechitzos, minimum. Is Hachanami, the Gemara says, by analogy, Shani Bein Rechava de Rabim le Rechava. We get back to Rabbi Misharshia, and we say that Rabbi Misharshia says that we should be very careful about a rechava, because if it's a private rechava, then who knows, tomorrow they may add buildings, deciding to expand the building project, and as a result, this mavui will be kola in the tzidei rechava. The mavui will end up in the tzidei rechava, that's what we discussed yesterday, and that's awesome. V'rabbanan mai, meaning the rabbis before Rebbe stepped into the picture and he was very inhibited, they apparently were fine, and they would allow, you know, that mavui that has a garbage dump on the right and it has the water on the left, they would allow carrying the mavui if you just put up a korah or a lechi. So the Gemara answers, Amrav Yosef Barav Dimi, Tana, V'chachomim osrim. In other words, it wasn't pshat that the Chachomim said it's mutter, and Rebbe said, oh, I have hesitations. On the contrary, it was the Chachomim who said that it's osr. And Rebbe was wondering about it, back and forth. He vacillated. Om Rav Nachman Alocha Kidirei Chachomim, and the Mavui is Asur, because we have to be Choshesh, we have to worry about the fact that maybe Shemati Notel HaAshpa, maybe it'll clear out the Ashpa. Or on the other side, maybe the Yam, as we said, will carry all of its the stones and the sand, and there won't be that Asar Tfachim of a Mechitz on that side. Ika Diamri, there's another version, Amrav Yosef Barav Dimi, Tana V'chachomim Atirim. But Amar Rav Nachman ein halacha kidirei chachamim, that the chachamim were not afraid. No, it's status quo. Now we have an ashpa on the right side, that's a mechitza. We have the yam on the left side, and that's a mechitza. Right now, everything is fine. We don't have to be so pious and anticipate any change in the current status quo. But lemaisa, Rav Nachman paskins that it's us. And we really have to be worried about the fact that he may decide, he wakes up one morning and says, let's get rid of this ashpa. Or after a certain period of time, and the waters the waves keep smacking up against the side of his mavui, they'll carry enough of that kind of stuff so that the mechitza is gone. Now, once we're talking about this kind of a body of water, so there was a city in Babylonia called Sura. There were two major centers of Torah learning in Babel. One was called Pumpedisa, the other was called Sura. And what's unique about the city of Sura, for our purposes, is that it bordered on a body of water. And there were many, many streets and alleyways that between the houses that ended up at this water, at this body of water. So there were some serious problems about whether you could carry in the mavu if it ends up in the water. So here's the story of Sura. So the Gemara says, yeah?
Yeah, I was going to say, when I went to Venice, we were told that the canals make a natural gay route that we could carry throughout Venice.
Hmm.
At least in the Jewish quarter.
Right, right. Okay, so let's keep that in mind as we go through the next two lines of Gemara, and we'll see what we can make out of that. So now, what happens is, you have all these alleyways, these mevos, that end up at the body of water. So they at one end, at the beginning of the mevo, there's a Rishus HaRabim. And at the other end, after you go through the various any particular alleyway, choose you which one you want to go, which street you want to, which door which you want to go down, you'll end up at the body of water. There's a whole discussion here in the notes whether it was a sea or whether it was a river. I'm not sure, but it seems like it was a sea. All right, fine. Now, there was, at the end of all these alleyways, there was a mechitza. I don't know what word to use in English, but again, there was, you know, you didn't just step out of your alleyway into the water. You know, there was a little bit of a drop, so the water was below, as we discussed earlier. And the question is, since this alleyway at one end is in a Rishus HaRabim, at the other end, he's ending up in the water, is there any halachic, what we call stima? Stima means, right, a mavui has to be sasum. It has to be closed at its end. Can we, but now this, you know, physically, there's nothing, there's no coastal there, right? Every mavui has a coastal to the right, a coastal to the left, and a coastal, a mechitza at the end. But here there's no mechitza at the end. But there's an imaginary mechitza, correct? Because since the lip that separates between the end of the mavui and the waterway is 10 tvachim, so we have an imaginary mechitza. Is that enough to make this mavui, or any mavui in the city of Sura, into a mavui sasum? And if it's a mavui sasum, then all you need is a lechi at the beginning of the mavui when you come in from the Rishus HaRabim. So Maremar Pasuk Le Lesura Biuzle. Now we're going to have to try to figure out what the word Biuzle means. There's a tremendous controversy about that word. But we're going to go with Rashi first. And Uzle, according to Rashi, means some sort of a reshet. A reshet, how do you say a reshet in English? Like a net, you know, a kind of a netting. It's almost like a mat, but not a mat that goes on the floor. A mat that stands up, you know, vertically. And Maremar insisted that the end of every single mavui in Surah, leading into the water, we're not going to rely on the mechitza of the lip of the water, you know, the lip that goes from the end of the mavui down to the water, because as we said, the water is depressed by 10 tefachim. But we're going to have to set up a mechitza at the end of the mavui, each one. And it was called Azli, that called Uzli. That's the Aramaic word according to Rashi for this netting. So you imagine that, you know, you're in Rishus HaRabim, you go down this mavui, and when you get to the end of the mavui, which is at the sea, what you're going to see now, based on Maremar's psak, is that you're going to come up smack up against the mechitza. Again, it's not a stone wall like a classic kosel. But it's a mechitza that's made of netting. Okay, netting. He calls it a mechitza asuya mireshet. Okay? So it seems that Meremar, for the city of Sura, was very machmir, and he would not rely on the lip that takes you from the Movui 10 Tfachim down to the water, to the sea, as if it were a machitza. Why not? Omar, he declared, Chayshina, we have to worry, Shemayale Hayom Sirton. You remember that word Sirton that we discussed earlier? It means that maybe the water and the waves are going to carry, you know, sand and dirt and stones, and it's going to fill in that drop such that there's no longer a mechitza. And if there's no longer a mechitza, then we're in deep trouble, because then this mavui, and again, when I say this mavui, I mean every single mavui in the city of Sura, is mefulash, right? It starts with Rishus Arabim, and it doesn't end up with a mechitza. Why? Because the waters are going to carry, or push, I don't know what word I should use, all this dross, you know, from the bottom of the sea, or whatever it is, and the mechitza will be gone. That 10 tefachim drop is lost. So that's Meremar. Again, this is all according to Rashi. We're going to take a shot at Rabbeinu Chananel in just a minute. Go ahead, Don.
Sorry, another question. The 10 tefachim for the sea, how is it measured? You just used the word drop. So it's the drop from the land down to this level of the sea.
Correct.
So if the sea was parallel to the land, then that's not sufficient. There has to be the drop.
Right.
Okay.
Now keep in mind when they built Sura, or like in your case Venice, obviously they did some sort of a landfill, and they would lift up the land above the water, because otherwise you're going to be flooded all the time. So the minimum amount of height that they allowed the landmass to be above the water, or that they required the landmass to be above the water, was a minimum of 10 tefachim. I'm just saying from an engineering point of view. Has nothing to do with halacha. But significant halachically is once the, I'm going to call the land a platform, if I'm going to use that word, right? If you end up at the end of your mavui, you know, on a platform, so to speak, there is no platform there. What I mean to say is the entire ground that you're standing on is lifted up, and the platform is 10 tefachim above the water, then the downward movement of that platform, if you follow what I mean, right? If you had a like an L shaped on its lying on its back, so that L going down is 10 tefachim, that's a mechitza. But Meremar is not going to rely on that mechitza, because he's afraid that when solid mass now fills in that area over the course of time, as the river waves, you know, carry all the sand and so forth, it's no longer going to be a 10 tefachim drop. And therefore there is no mechitza. If there's no mechitza, then what you've got in front of you is a mavui mefulash, because you started Rishus HaRabim and you ended up without any third mechitza. You don't have a third mechitza, then we view the mavui as if it's a continuation of the Rishus HaRabim. The reason why the mavui is separated from the Rishus HaRabim and allows itself tikkun is because it ends up in a kosel. But here it doesn't end up in a kosel, it ends up in a drop. Well, a drop would be fine, but now it ends up in the water and there's no drop. I don't mean literally in the water, but less than 10 tefachim to the water. Again, if you had the picture, it would be a little easier. But
no, I see the picture. But you can't see the drop in my picture anyway. Did you get my pages last week?
I got them, but I didn't. I'll take care of it. It's just a matter of finding the time. But thank you so much, because that paper is going to help me for the sugya that we did on Thursday, I'm hoping, yeah.
Right. So with this in mind, then if the mavoi ends in a drop, in other words, there's no sea, there's just a ditch. and it's 10 tfachim down, and presumably has to be 4 tfachim, minimum 4 tfachim square, that's considered a mechitza for this purpose.
That's what it would seem, yeah. You're right. In other words, an imaginary mechitza seems to be enough to make it into a mavui sasum. Here, we're afraid that mechitza might be obliterated with the course of time, the passage of time, and therefore we require these nets. There's a beautiful colored picture here of these nets at the end of each one of the mavui. So he shows you, you know, like a... He's got a, like almost a bird's eye view where you're seeing the end of one mavui and then a few feet, you know, a few yards later, the end of another mavui. There are houses in between. And at the end of each one of those mavuis, which is right before you drop into the sea, he's got this net that goes across and it's 10 tefachim high. And that makes it into a mechitza. I mean, you can imagine how much work, how much labor it would go in. Because I'm assuming there were tens, if not hundreds, of these mavuis that ended up in the sea. And each one, in order to be matir tiltul on Shabbos, required this mechitza at the end. Again, you'd have to put a lechi at the beginning as you go in through Rishus HaRav. Okay, that's Rashi. Now, we're going to take a shot at Rabbeinu Chananel. And apparently the Rambam accepts the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel. And well, what should I say? I was not able to understand this fully, but at least I have the basics. So let's see if we can figure out, because Rabbeinu Chananel here has a whole different take on this Gemara. First of all, the girsa in the Gemara to explain the word uzli. What comes next? We have Yomar Chayshinon. His gear says Lo Chayshinon, Shemayale Hayom Sirton. We're not afraid that the waves of the water are going to push the stones, etc., towards the Mavu. So what's going on here? Lo Chayshinon. He says the following. Shalitocha ir sura hoye nichnas loshon mayim mehanohar. I don't know what the word loshon means. Loshon is a tongue. So what does he mean, a tongue of water? I think he means like a, what's the word in English? Like a, not a layer of water, but a, I'm sorry, my vocabulary here is failing me, but what would you call, if you had, let's say, next to a sea, you put up, you know, two small walls, and the water comes rushing through these walls. What would you call that?
Canal.
What do we call it?
A canal.
Well, canal is too sophisticated. I'm just talking about the water that shoots in between these mechitzos.
Yeah. Stream, call it an inlet.
An inlet, okay, a stream. I like the word stream. Anyway, he uses the word lashon. This lashon of mayim, a stream of water that comes in, nichnas, me'anar, from the river. Right? He's learning that sura was not on a sea, it was on a river. The oso lashon shel nahar, hayinikra uzli. So the word uzli doesn't mean those net machitzos that we spoke about, like those mats, you know, vertical mats, but rather it's referring to these streams of water. Shayuregilim lifros sham rishatos kidei lotsu dogim. And the reason why they call these streams uzli is because very often the fish were washed in to these mavos by these streams of water of the river, and they would go out and fish them with nets. So since they use fishing nets to catch the fish in these streams, therefore these streams are called uzli. Uzli means like, take your nets, you know, because there's fish that's coming in. So lashon hanar uzli hayamaf mafsik bein sofei hamuvos. Lershus Arabim, Shemeiver Asheni Shel Uzli. So again, I have an idea what he's saying, but I'm not sure. Let me read on, and maybe retroactively, I'll convince myself that my idea is correct. Umeata, he says, Kol zman she'nor uzli kayem b'mkomo, mivo'ol shel sura stumim b'sofam. Sharei mechitzos ha'nor sosmos esof ha'movui. See, unfortunately, he doesn't have a picture of Rabbeinu Chananel. He only gives you the picture for Rashi. And Rabbeinu Chananel has a whole different picture here. And I'm trying, you know, this is one of these cases where you have to visualize something based on words. And it's very hard to do that. So I'm going to read it one more time. He says, right? Shalitocha ir surah hayanichnas loshon mayim me'anor. The oso lashon shel nar hayanikra uzli mipnei shayu regilim lifros sham rishatos kidei latsu dagin. Now here's the key line which I'm trying to. V'hayu mivos ha'ir mifulashim mishnei tzideim lirshus harabim el shel lashon hanar. Uzli, haya mafsik, bein sofe amuvos, levein rishus harabim, shemi evro hasheni shel uzli. So Rabosai, again, I can't give you all the details. I could just tell you what I know, what I think I know. There are two entranceways into this mavui. And both entranceways begin at Rishus HaRabim. In other words, the Rishus HaRabim spills into the Mavui on both ends of the Mavui. However, at one end of the Mavui, the streams of water reach the, shall I say, the contact point between the Mavui and Rishus HaRabim. And those streams of water carry fish, and the fishermen go to fish out the water. And Kol Zman She'nar Uzli, as long as these fish, you know, with streams are Kayam Bimkomo, is then it's called the Mavui Sosum Bisofo, right? So again, there's one entrance into the Mavui that remains dry and accessible from the Rishus HaRabim, but the other end of the Mavui is no longer accessible, so to speak. In order to get to the Rishus HaRabim, you have to go fishing first, so to speak. You'd have to take some sort of stilts and jump over these uzli. Sharei mechitzos hanor sosmos es sofa mavui. Again, I don't know exactly what he means by mechitzos hanar, but in any event, the bottom line is that there's something here as a result of these streams with fish and so forth that makes one connecting point between Rishus HaRabim and Mavui inaccessible. It's like it's closed to the public, if you follow what I mean, because it's inaccessible. It's full of streams of water that fill it up, and there's fish inside the water. And the fishermen are going there, so that becomes a mavui sosum. So what does it mean when it says Meremar, according to this Girsa Omar, Lo Chayshinin Shemiyala Hayam Sirton? Is Yesh Lismoch Al Nor Uzli? We can rely on this, on these streams, that they're constant. Vehu Chotzeitz Bein Mavuos Surya Levain Rishus HaRabim, that these streams of fish serve as a barrier between, on one end again, between the Rishus HaRabim and the Mavos in all these cases. V'lo chayshinen shemiyala nor sirton, and we're not afraid that at some point the streams will dry up, so to speak. You know, there'll be such a clogging of backlogging of of stones and so forth that the streams are going to stop, and again the mavui is going to become on the other side, on the opposite side, again accessible to the rabbit. Mishum makach histapek. Histapek means he, Meimar thought it was sufficient. Das konas lechi v'kora v'roshi amuvos v'lo hitzrich tikun kolshu v'sofan. So according to this, which is Rabbeinu Chananel, it's also the Aruch, and it's the Rambam's Girsa. Lo chayshinin shemayala hayam sarta. So whereas our Girsa was that Meremar was machmir because he was afraid that that machitza at the end of the Mavui, you know, bordering on the water would be clogged up, you know, and be filled in with stones, and therefore he required those mats as a mechitza at the end of each one of the mavos. According to this gear, so Rabbeinu Chananel's gear, it's the opposite. Meremar felt that all you need is a lechi, because it's sasum on the other end due to these what we call the nar uzli, you know, these streams that that make it inaccessible to the rabbim. And on the contrary, lo chayshin and shemiyala yam sarta, we're not afraid that at some point, due to the waves bringing all this stuff that's going to clog it up, and there won't be any streams anymore. So the streams are the good, these are the good guys. Are you following it all? No response
yes,
here.
Yes.
You're following me again? I'm not telling you I have all the details. This is the classic case where we needed a picture and there's no picture. But it's the exact opposite of Rashi. You know, Rashi's telling us that Meremar in the city of Sura required this gigantic headache that at the end of each Mavui, you know, before you would step into the river, you would require these mechitzos on each mavui. I mean, the picture is beautiful. It's like 1,000 these standing mats, as I call them, or nets. And the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Chananel are the exact opposite. That, on the contrary, Meremar Paskin for the city of Sura that each one of these mavos needs nothing more than a lechi. Nothing else is necessary, because on the other end of the Rishus HaRabim, you have these streams of what he calls Nahar Uzli, and they serve as a stima, because, again, stima means a closure or a barrier, because it's no longer accessible from the Rishus HaRabim. Again, I don't know exactly how to picture it in my mind where these streams are coming through. I'm so thrown off by this picture. I'm convinced that Rabbeinu Chananel has a different picture entirely of how this looks. And it'd be a mitzvah gedola to circulate some sort of a diagram to explain this Rabbeinu Chananel. But I don't have access to that picture. Whole nother pshat. Okay, now I know it's getting late, so let me just say a few words of introduction regarding the next sugi that Amir Tzashem will study tomorrow. And we're still talking about Sura, the city of Sura, and we have another case of the city of Sura, and you may remember that in the past we've discussed something called a mavui akum, which is a mavui that goes around, you know, like a resh, like an L. And we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav considers a mavui akum as a mavui mefulosh, because although it's on an L shape, the two entranceways into this mavui are both from Rishus HaRabim. So there's nothing that prevents the Rabim from going from one entranceway into the Mavui and ending on and going out, exiting from the other entranceway. And therefore Rav required what's called a Suras HaPesach. And once again, there's going to be a Machlokas Rishonim, but let's go according to Rashi. Rashi holds that that Suras HaPesach is at the Makom HaKmimus, at that point where the Mavui turns to the left. And Shmuel's of the opinion that no, we consider it as if it's two separate mavus, and therefore you don't require, and it's sasum, because no matter which way you go, whether you come in this way or come in that way, you always end up facing a wall. Again, different walls, but a wall, so it's a mavui sasum, and therefore Shmuel requires a lechi at the beginning and a lechi at the end. It's a mavui sasum, it's not a mavui mefulash. And in Surah, there was a case of a Mavui Akum, and the case came up in front of the Chachamim, and as we'll see tomorrow, Mr. Shem, the Chachamim offered a psak that seems to contradict both Rav and Shmuel. And Rav Chisda is going to be the one to make a big deal about it. Lo Kerav, Lo Kishmuel. Okay then, so Beli Neder, that's what we'll cover for tomorrow. So I wish you all a great day. Thank you so much.